Welcome to the Amplifying Leadership Podcast. I am your host, Tara Lehman, a partner, coach, and consultant at Twin Life Coaching and Business Services, of which Amplifying Leadership is a division. This podcast is a place dedicated to amplifying your leadership through our great guest stories, tips, information, and more. To learn more about our leadership division, please visit us at amplifyingleadership.ca. Today, I am welcoming Stephanie Craig, president at KIF. Welcome to Amplifying Leadership.
Hi, Tara. Thanks so much for having me. I'm absolutely thrilled to be with you today.
And I love the topic that we're going to talk about around crisis and leadership. So I'm excited to get there. But before we start, let's talk about you. Get our audience get to know you a little bit. What's your leadership story? Where did you come from?
Well, I actually have kind of a crazy story. And I like to say I come from a long line of people that run towards fire. Mine just happens to be metaphorical.
Okay.
It's not a very common upbringing. I grew up in all over Canada. I was born in the Arctic, which I've been considerably trying to move further south as I get older, stay warm. My dad was a Royal Canadian Mounted Police officer, and my grandfather stormed Normandy. So I come from a line of people that find calm in chaos.
Okay.
And that really, it led me at first to politics. I spent a good portion of the first part of my career in politics, both in Canada and the United States. I'm probably the only person, I've never met anybody else, who has worked in the U.S. House and Senate and the Canadian House and Senate.
Okay.
So I have just had a front row seat to some really amazing events, but also some pretty chaotic events, which teases out your style. And my style is calm and chaos. And that to me has been something that I have been sought out for, but also sought out myself. I like jobs where I can be in charge of many moving parts. And when I had the opportunity to start my own firm, I got a couple clients right off the bat. One was the mayor of a very large American city, so they were always in crisis.
Right.
Very busy. But joining KIF, the founder of KIF is a man named Bill Coletti, and he had been the global head of crisis for H&K, or Hill & Knowlton, for folks in the rest of the world. And then he decided to go out on his own, and we'd worked together at a previous firm, and he's taking a well-deserved step back from business. And he says, "Hey, Steph, you want to come and run the firm?" And it's been really interesting to run the firm, not my own little, I get to take whichever clients I want kind of thing, because as we have, I think I leaned a lot more to crisis communications before, but as I've gotten into the business that we run and the work that we do, it turns out we're less Edelman, less PR agency, and more Deloitte, more management consultant, which has been a pretty telling, adventure for us to figure that out. And now we really focus on helping organizations prepare for, mitigate, and recover from reputational crisis. But contrary to popular belief, reputational crisis is not crisis communications.
Oh, there we go. So I guess our first question for you is going to be, what's the difference in that? Because crisis management comes with leadership, comes with business ownership. So let's start with that. What is the difference?
Well, let me start by saying I have such great respect for crisis communicators. When we work closely with them, because when a crisis, we either get pulled in too late, the crisis is already happening, or, you know, the crisis gets out a little bit. Folks that are in crisis communications do some really wonderful work. But the difference is we work across the leadership footprint. So across the C-suite to help folks identify real potential challenges that can blow up into a crisis. And that really comes from kind of anywhere. When we talk about reputation versus brand, so brand is what you pay for.
Mm-hmm.
It is your spokes animal or your ad campaign or your influencer that you work with. Reputation is what people think about you.
Exactly. Yeah.
And I would say the World Economic Forum is probably the best arbiter of this number, but they say 35% of an organization's value is their reputation.
It's a lot, isn't it?
It is.
It
And
is.
when we talk to our clients, it's a real kind of eye-opener for them that they're not putting as much time and energy and resources towards protecting something that is that valuable. Some may have a widget factory that's worth 40% of their organization. They have all sorts of protections on that. They have fire protections, they have insurance, they have all of those things, but they're not spending enough time protecting their reputation. And when you walk folks through the idea of, okay, your widget factory breaks down, maybe someone gets hurt. That is a, first of all, life and limb challenge, but then it's a reputational challenge. You can't deliver your widgets to your customers. That hurts your reputation.
Yes.
You have unsafe working conditions. That hurts recruitment. That invites government scrutiny.
And big time, not just small. That's big if someone gets
Right.
hurt.
And
Yeah.
so, again, reputational challenge. So people think about things as if they're divorced, as if they're separate. I have a fire and it's just a fire. Well, no, it's not just a fire. There's so
Yeah.
many things that come out of it. And that's really where we want to get people to start thinking about. And this has to start with leadership in an organization. One of the unrecognized, I guess, talents of most communicators is that their sole job is to protect and build the reputation of an organization. So a lot of times they can be Henny Penny in the corner saying the sky is falling. But if they aren't sitting at the leadership table and there's nobody else at the leadership table saying, okay, this has to be a priority, as a leader, you're leaving your organization vulnerable.
Yeah, and I really like that they go that you mentioned that these things go together, because if you do look at your reputation on the leadership table, at the leadership table, automatically going to start to help the other pieces that could lead to crisis. So if we're starting to talk about safety as a reputation and we want to be known for safety, excellence, that naturally is going to lead to maybe a safety audit of where you built those widgets, right? So it becomes something that naturally goes together. But when that piece is missing, when you're not really considering what that reputation you want or what that vision you want is, it hurts. I love that you bring that up. I think that's really, really important. Let's leave with that for a minute. And what is it that leaders are currently not doing? Like, are they not talking at all about reputation, or are they missing key pieces of that?
I honestly think that people, it's a natural habit of people not to want to talk about bad things.
That is probably true. Yeah. In our
Yeah.
heads, we do it, all that negative thought, right?
But when you want, like when you think about, you don't want to think about bad days.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if, you have a business of two people or you have a business of 10,000 people. Those human traits are very similar. And so part of what I talk about is a crisis mindset. And a lot of times people think it is me, and all I'm doing is looking for all the exits and making sure I know where they are, and looking to make sure there are no tripping hazards and all that. That's not what it is. It's being willing to mentally walk through your bad days. And that
Oh,
is
it's like a
very
reflection.
uncomfortable. Well, it's something that like most young Canadians, I was a competitive figure skater growing up, and one of the things that my coaches really instilled in me was to walk through the routine.
Okay,
In
yeah.
your mind, walk it through so you can see, because your mind will point out where you're going to stumble. And it's a very funny thing, is even when you're mentally going through your routine, you're going to have a stumble where you would naturally have a stumble physically. So being able to walk through that mentally and see where you're going to to stumble, that means in real life you can fix it. And I talk about this a lot, and I actually really had to practice it. My both of my parents passed away quite quickly with each other, and lose I had the I won the parent lottery. My parents were amazing, and my dad was one of my best friends, and so the idea of losing him was just terrifying. But I couldn't stop myself from doing that mental walkthrough. What is that day going to look like? What am I going to have to do? What am I going to feel? What? And I can't, I've, never lost a dad before, so I can't tell you if it made it better or worse. But I can tell you I felt a lot more in control.
And so, do you think if there's a business crisis, okay, we can go back to COVID, for example, because that's a crisis that came up for so many businesses, and so many businesses closed because they weren't prepared. So, if we talk about, I talk a lot about risk planning with your business, right? What are the key risks that you need to watch out for? And COVID is an excellent example with moving forward. What if that next big thing, whatever, if it's a COVID-like epidemic or something else, stops businesses from running, what do to keep your customer base, right? And so if that's an example of a crisis, what are the strategies that leaders would use to use that mindset thought that you're talking about and using that to create those actions that actually help build our risk plans?
Well, and it's interesting. I think given that this was the first time in 100 years that something like this had happened,
Crazy,
it was not on anyone's bingo card of crises.
I don't think so. I don't think it was on anyone's.
Right. It certainly is now.
Is absolutely.
And so this is what I mean about walking through your worst day, which is, what if this happened to us again? What would we do? And not in the moment. That's something that we really want to stress to people. There are so many decisions and so many discussions that can happen beforehand that it makes the actual event less traumatic and easier to navigate. And so,
Proactive, not reactive, right?
absolutely. And it's if you want to take it down to brass tacks, we're a lot cheaper if you call us before it happens than if you call us
Then
after.
after. Yeah, it's true. And it's cheaper for everything, no matter if it's with you or with your safety or whatever. It's
Absolutely.
deal with it proactively. Yeah, sorry, go ahead.
No, and it's something that folks, if you want to take it down to a bit of a smaller scale, I have two kind of client examples. One is we have a client that is a government contractor in the US. And so the government contractors tend to have a large portion of their workforce be veterans, military veterans. And so, in a lot of the world, we November 11th is marked as a day of remembrance. In Commonwealth countries, it's called Remembrance Day, and in the United States, it's called Veterans Day. And so, our client was kind of rolling into Veterans Day weekend, which is a long weekend. It's the weekend after everyone kind of pays their bills. They pay their mortgage, their electric bills, all those things. So folks kind of need this paycheck. Well, the Thursday night before the Friday that everyone got paid, their payroll provider called and said, it's not going to arrive in time.
Oh dear.
So, after a few choice words, this team, because they'd done all the work, went into action. They knew who the point person was. So, the cruise director, as I like to call him, said to finance, I'm going to need you to free up some money. Because we're going to have to figure out if people can't make it through the weekend, how we're going to pay them. And then he said, all right, communications people, I need you to create an email and then create a 1-800 number. The reason for that is they knew their employees, aka their main stakeholders, they knew that those folks would read email and get information via email, but they would only seek out information via a 1-800 number.
Interesting.
And
So
they
they
knew
did the
that,
research,
right? Because
right?
they got to know them. So they sent out the email and it said, hey, this happened. If you can't make, we're in this with you. If you can't make it through the weekend, call us and we'll help you.
That's awesome.
4,600 people in the company, 12 people called.
Because
But
they were prepared.
because they were prepared. But here's the thing. This didn't become a crisis. The government contracting community is small, so nobody took to Facebook or LinkedIn or X slash Twitter and said, I didn't get paid today. They were all in it together. And but here's the really cool thing about it. Employee satisfaction went up. Employee retention went up. And employee recruitment went up because people who were in the company who'd been through that were so happy with where they worked, they were telling other people about it. So by being prepared, this company turned a really could be a really bad situation because here's the other part. Veterans are revered. So you don't pay them. That causes a problem with their customer. Their customer's the government. So they staved off something that could have been very, very detrimental, reputationally, financially, future looking, and they turned it into a positive all because they were prepared. And that is a leadership decision. Unless you prioritize funding, personnel, time into creating these systems that will get you prepared, you're kind of flat in the water. And we talk about this in kind of a fun formula. I think everybody, Terry, you know this for sure. Everyone says the difference between good and great crisis response is speed.
That's true. They do.
Speed without strategy is just kamikaze. And so we like to call it clarity plus trust equals strategic speed.
Oh, I like that.
And so it's clarity in what you value. So what your corporate values, what your organizational values are, who you value, your stakeholders, they could be your customers, they could be your board, they could be your employees, but you have to know them. And then what do they value? Who do they value? I think we're in an era of just such deep bifurcation of communications and who people trust communications coming from. You have to understand the best way to get information to your stakeholders.
Absolutely.
And then plus trust.
Trust.
Plus trust. That's a tough one. Plus trust. And that is very much you trust that the people, the policies, and the procedures that you have put in place are going to work in the moment. So you already know who's going to be your spokesperson. You already have kind of some idea what your messages are going to be because you understand your values. You understand who has to communicate with whom. You understand what kind of regulatory requirements you have. So trusting in your people, processes, and procedures is a key component to that strategic speed because you're not deciding it. You're not figuring out who your stakeholders are. You're not just figuring out what your values are. You're not figuring out who the spokesperson is in the moment.
Yeah, I have to say, I work with a lot of small business owners where they don't even know their culture or their values. And I say, if you don't know that, how do you handle things like a crisis that comes up? Or if you don't ask people how they want to be communicated to, for example, in a crisis, if that's what we're talking about, how do you know they'll get the message? And so I see the same thing a lot, but I want to point out something that I also tell clients, but that you brought up, and it's so important, is involve the employees in these strategy plans where appropriate, because we may not know what they want or need. Like you said, maybe they are okay with waiting till Monday, but maybe they're not. And we have those key people that we know might need that money over the weekend, and we can deal with that, but we wouldn't know that if we didn't ask our employees and build that trust and respect with them, like as you were mentioning. So I think the employee involvement, key strategy ahead of time, big time. But I love that you brought up, you got to know the values, you got to know how to communicate these things before you can even deal with the crisis. Because because otherwise it's firefighting, right?
Absolutely, exactly. And there's two things about the values. One, if you know your values and you live your value, your corporate values, your organizational values, that actually stymies a lot of crises.
It does, yeah.
Because if you say that you are an invent, you are a green business, and one someone in your supply chain is a massive polluter, that is not a value match. And that's where the crisis is, when a crisis could start. And then the other part of that is, if you get to know your stakeholders, if you get to, if they get to know you, what your values are, that you are living your values, when a crisis comes, those folks are less, or pardon me, more likely to forgive you and forgive you faster. And it
Absolutely.
helps direct your strategy. If you are a senior nutrition company, Twitter and Instagram matter not to you. Book and email matter to you. If you are a, early 20s makeup company, Instagram and TikTok matter tremendously to you. Don't bother calling them. Don't bother emailing them. They're
They're not going
right.
to
Right. And
answer.
so understanding those things, it helps you, it keeps you from spinning your wheels in a crisis, because you don't have to spread your message here nor there. One really interesting example is, in the United States, there's a burger company called Five Guys.
Yeah, I've heard of it actually.
And so Five Guys is not cheap. And somebody posted their receipt, and they to some social media company, and they said, here's my hamburger, my hot dog, or my hamburger, my drink, and my French fries. And it was some astronomical price, like $23 or something like that. And there was an uproar. Five Guys didn't respond. They just let it go. Why? Because they knew the people that liked the hamburger already knew they were paying 20 some dollars for the hamburger.
Yeah, they knew that that's what they were going in, and that's, the money they have to bring with them if they want to go to Five Guys.
Absolutely. And so by understanding their customers, they're like, okay, let this rage, let this go. People can be angry. Guess what? Our people still know us. They still like us, and they're still coming. So by doing that deep understanding, they save themselves from having to spin their wheels.
I mean, and there's going to be people out there who give you a negative review or say something against almost every company. It's going to happen. It's about knowing your audience, the people that are coming back to you. It doesn't even matter what it is. It's about going back to the reputation, right? They
Absolutely.
know that they're going to get that quality burger, for example, but they're going to pay for it. It's like Nike. You know you're going to pay more for the name because you trust and value that brand. Right.
Absolutely.
And so that reputation comes back to avoid the crises. It
And
all goes in a circle.
you think about this, who holds your reputation? Your customers, your stakeholders, they're the ones that have your reputation in their hands. And there's very little you can pay for that is going to change their opinion of you if they lose their trust in you. So
Absolutely.
understanding who they are and making sure that they hear from you, they know you, that they trust you, you're 80% of the way there to being crisis resilient.
Excellent. I have a question for you because I do have a lot of new leaders that do listen to this podcast, and I'm wondering if there's any advice you would give to a new leader who's dealing with a crisis and has never dealt with it before because they're new to this. This is not something they've done at a leadership table before. I mean, it can be scary. Like if you were a new leader March 1st and, mid-March COVID hits, that's, crazy. So what advice could you give to new leaders who suddenly a crisis is on their hands and they've never dealt with it before?
I think first thing that folks are going to want to do, you need to recognize what a crisis is.
Define it.
Yes. And so for people that are new to an organization, You will, if you're sitting at the leadership table, you're not showing up on your first day of work and figuring out what's happening. You've already done the risk assessments. You've done all those things to figure out what it is. So have that deep understanding so you don't get exercised. This, a good part of all the planning is to imbue leadership teams with calm, confidence, and security in decisions. So if the rest of your team is not at all prepared, remain calm. Know that you have to start asking questions that and stop people from running around with like chickens with their heads cut off. Say, okay, we have to take a minute. Do we know the facts? Who else is this affecting? How is this affecting our people? And what expert information, because this is a health crisis, what expert information do we have to guide our response? So if you're sitting at a table and something like COVID hits, calm, and then what you need to do.
Nice and simple format, right? And I love that you brought up the ask questions part. And I was creating a presentation, a training that I'm doing on Monday for a group of people. And one of the slides is always about being curious as a leader. It's about asking questions about things that you don't know. And as you alluded to, as a new leader, we need to ask those questions while remaining calm because we new leaders may not know the protocols. So let's make sure that we're asking the questions to take that next step so we can move forward. So love that you brought that up because I think it is such a key piece that so many people miss. They just go panic mode. And I'm sure you've seen panic mode, right? Crisis mode hits.
That's when my phone usually rings at 3 o'clock in the morning. And that has happened. But it's also interesting. My husband always tells me that I sound like I'm an inquisitor because I love people and I love to ask questions. But we had one client, it's a global mining company. And this is a prime example of leadership being expertly engaged. The first person at every day during our workshop was the CEO.
Excellent. Love that.
He showed up. He was completely engaged. It was just textbook perfect. And we were kind of wrapping up and I was asking some questions. And I said to the leader of IT, I said, well, do you know what, like, do you have ransomware insurance? And he looked at me like a deer in headlights and he said,
Oh dear.
I think so. And the
Better
CEO,
find out.
he goes, what
Right.
do you mean you think so? And he goes, well, I'm fairly sure we do. I said, well, do you know what it says? Are you supposed to pay? Are you not supposed to pay? Are you allowed to talk about it? Do you have to stay quiet? Like, those are some pretty important questions to ask. And I said, you're in 36 countries. Do you know the regulatory requirements of data breaches? Because when you pull this out, that's what it is. It's a data breach. Do you know the regulatory requirements of data breaches in every one of the countries in which you operate? And I'm fairly sure there's a dartboard in this man's office with my face on it. But the CEO just, he said, we need, like, and he wasn't mad because I think he understood that, like, everybody has a lot on their plate all the time. But the reason they'd engaged in this exercise was so people could take a minute, step back, and say, okay, we don't know the important things that we need to know if we get into a crisis. So they prioritized figuring that out. And that's a lot of what we want to do with people is just take a step back, ask the questions. We have I have a little free Substack that we call Crisis of the Month. And it's an electronic extension of one of our biggest pieces of advice to people. Yes, we would love for you to come work with us, all of these things, but being crisis ready can be as simple as at your weekly staff meeting, look at what the biggest headline in your industry is and ask your team, what would we do if this happened to us? So our little Substack kind of takes away that, and it's free. It will always be free. And we just every month we send out a little cautionary tale, we'll call it, and provide some questions to ask and some resources for people to get a little bit better. And it really can be that simple as just talking about what we would do during a staff meeting, because that conversation is going to tease out so many questions and highlight
Yeah, for sure.
information to know.
And I love that idea. Again, it's bringing the people in, right? And I think that is a great way to end our conversation today because we have a resource that might be available. So if our audience wanted to get that resource, if it's available to them, or wanted to find you somewhere online to learn more about what you do, especially with, in crises, how can they find you?
Well, I'm on LinkedIn. I have a profile picture that I like to qualify as approachable ninja. So
Okay.
I'm Stephanie Craig in Washington, D.C. But Crisis of the Month is free and open to anyone, and
Excellent.
so they can find it on my LinkedIn page, but also on our website. It's right front and center. It's kith.co.co, and it's just in time. It'll be the July 1st one will be coming out soon.
Excellent. Thank you so much for sharing some really key important tips today on things people don't really think about it until it happens. So greatly appreciate your time, and I'm sure our audience did too.
Oh, just my pleasure, Tara. Thank you so much for the wonderful conversation.
Of course, we would like to thank our audience. We hoped you gained some valuable insights or tips from today's conversation with Stephanie. If you enjoyed the episode, be sure to leave us a great rating too. This helps us and our guests like Stephanie reach even more leaders with helpful stories, tips, and advice. We leaders love helping other leaders grow and thrive. If you are looking for more information on our leadership services, please visit us anytime at amplifyingleadership.ca, a division of Twin Life Coaching and Business Services. And before you go, don't forget to grab this quarter's free resource, Your Guide as a New Leader. It is designed to support your new leaders in their first few weeks to build credibility, gain trust, and set a strong foundation. The link will be in the episode notes.